Welcome to the Deep Dive. We cut through the noise to bring you the knowledge that, well, really matters right now. Today, we are diving headfirst into the cybersecurity battlefield. It's always changing, isn't it? And we're looking at a, frankly, pretty unsettling new frontier, the security around Docker APIs. Okay, picture this. A backdoor, a really critical one, into your digital setup. It's not just unlocked, it's being actively used. And not by script kiddies, but by pretty sophisticated criminals building this hidden anonymous network right under your nose. That's the trend we're unpacking today. So our mission, really, is to show you exactly how attackers are exploiting these exposed Docker APIs. We'll trace how their methods have evolved. It's quite surprising, actually, from simple grabs to these really organized, hidden botnet operations. And most importantly, we want to give you the insights, the tools to protect your own containerized setups.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating here, maybe a bit scary too, is just the boldness, the cleverness of it all. They've shifted way beyond just trying to make a quick buck with crypto mining. Now it's about, you know, digging in, establishing long-term control. It really signals a big step up in how these threat actors operate, something we definitely need to get our heads around.
Okay, let's break that down then. For anyone working with containers, Docker APIs are, you know, part of the daily toolkit. But what is a Docker API fundamentally, and why this interface? Why has it become such a hot target right now?
Right. Well, at its core, think of the Docker API as the master control panel for your containers. Mm-hmm. It lets other applications, services talk to Docker, manage things. It's built for automation, for efficiency. Mm-hmm. But that power, well, if it's left exposed, it becomes an instant admin gateway, a direct way into everything. The specific issue we see a lot is APIs running on port 2375. If that's facing the internet without, you know, proper security, it's not just leaving a door unlocked. Mm-hmm. It's handing over the master key to the entire factory, basically.
Wow, the master key. So unlike older breaches where maybe they had to sneak around, find different vulnerabilities.
Exactly. Those often needed multiple steps, right?
Yeah.
Finding a way in, escalating privileges. But an exposed Docker API, that offers immediate administrative level access. They can start creating and managing containers straight away.
Yeah.
It's a huge shortcut for them.
That immediate admin access, that must be why it's such a gold mine for these attackers.
Absolutely. And if you look at the bigger picture, this basic vulnerability, it was just too tempting to ignore. Early on, like we mentioned, the goal was simpler, crypto miners, just opportunistic attacks trying to steal computing power for cash. But the really crucial shift, the thing we're seeing now, is that move from just mining to building out these complex botnet infrastructures. It shows they're thinking longer term now, recognizing the value of keeping that access, that persistence, rather than just a quick payout.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. It's not just the simple hack anymore. It's like a masterclass in covert ops. How do they use the design of containers themselves to stay hidden and, well, spread? How does that whole attack chain work from spotting a target to setting up those hidden communication lines?
Well, it kicks off with the initial compromise, right? They use automated scanners, constantly probing the internet. They're specifically looking for those exposed Docker APIs, the ones listening on port 2375, just mapping out the easy entry points.
Like digital burglars checking for open windows. Okay, so they find one. How do they slip their malicious package inside without setting off alarms? That payload delivery sounds quite sneaky.
It really is.
Yeah.
Once they find an open API, they send a request to create a container. But not just any container. They use these carefully crafted Alpine Linux images. Alpine's popular. It's tiny, which means a smally footprint, less obvious. It's a good disguise. And hidden inside these images, Base64 encoded shell commands. Basically, instructions dressed up to look like data, so they bypass simple security scans. These commands set up the initial foothold, get things ready for the next stage. It's very effective at avoiding traditional monitoring.
And using containers helps them stay hidden too, right?
Definitely. That's a key advantage for them. Containers provide these isolated environments, so the malicious stuff can run sort of independently without messing directly with the main host system files, which makes detection much harder.
That's smart. Devious, but smart. And it seems like this careful planning goes even deeper into their own security, their OPSEC.
Oh, absolutely. Once that initial payload is running, the first thing it often does is connect out through Tor, the anonymization network. That gives them really strong protection against tracking, you know, by law enforcement or researchers. It hides their real location, their servers. It shows they're thinking very carefully about not getting caught.
They even verify the Tor connection works properly.
Yeah, we've seen evidence of that.
Yeah.
Like a multi-stage check, sometimes using things like Amazon's IP check service just to be sure that Tor connection is solid and reliable. That level of detail, it really tells you something about their planning.
Huh. That level of detail is pretty amazing, but does that maybe expose a weakness? I mean, using a public service like Amazon's, even just for a check, could that leave some kind of trail? Or are they really invisible?
That's a good question. It's probably a calculated risk. While they're trying hard to be anonymous, any interaction with an outside service yet could potentially leave a trace, a data point that could be correlated later. It's something intelligence agencies definitely look for. But balancing that risk against needing reliable connections is part of their game. And their methods for staying put, for persistence, are just as well thought out.
Like how?
Well, the main way is often SSH key injection. They add their own public SSH key to the root user's authorized keys file on the actual host machine. That gives them a really reliable backdoor. It survives container restarts, system updates, pretty much everything.
So they can always get back in.
Right. But they don't usually stop there. They often add more layers, like setting up scheduled tasks, cron jobs, you know, for maintenance, maybe checking in. And here's a really sneaky detail. These automated tasks sometimes include commands to change the firewall rules, specifically to block external access to that Docker API port they used to get in, port 2075.
Wait, hang on. They block the door after they've come through it? Why on earth would they do that?
It's competitive. They want to protect their newly compromised system from being found and taken over by other attackers. It ensures they have exclusive control. It's a fascinating glimpse into, well, competitive cybercrime, like locking the door behind you to keep rivals out.
Wow. So they're not just infecting systems. They're literally fighting turf wars in the digital underground. That's unexpected.
It's all about maintaining control of their assets.
So what's really scary here is that these aren't just one-off break-ins. They're designed to spread, right? How does one compromised container become a launch pad for this massive, growing network? How do they scale up so fast?
The malware they deploy isn't just sitting there. It usually includes its own scanning tools. So once it's inside a system, it starts looking for other vulnerable Docker APIs. On the local network, out on the internet again, this turns each infected container into a new soldier, basically, recruiting more systems into their botnet. It creates this exponential growth.
And that competitive thing you mentioned comes into play here too.
Absolutely. When the malware lands on a new system, it often actively searches for and kills off containers that look like they belong to rival groups. It's about claiming that territory, ensuring they have sole control, and maximizing the size and power of their own network.
It's like they're not just planting a flag. They're actively clearing out the competition to build an empire.
That's a pretty good analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
And another really interesting piece is how sophisticated their reconnaissance has become. It's about future-proofing their attacks. This modern Docker API malware doesn't just scan for the open port. It does a deep dive into the system it lands on.
Like what kind of information are they gathering?
All sorts. Looking through system logs to find user accounts, mapping out the network connections, discovering what other assets are nearby. It gives them this really detailed picture of the compromised environment. That lets them plan much more targeted, much more effective follow-on attacks later. And we're even seeing hints of what's next. Researchers have found, like, inactive code snippets hidden in some of this malware.
Inactive code? For what?
Things like code to exploit Telnet using default passwords. You'd be surprised how often that still works. And even abusing the Chrome browser's debugging interface. That's a pretty creative way to potentially hijack processes. It strongly suggests they have these well-developed plans for future campaigns using different attack methods. They're playing the long game.
Okay, this technical stuff is fascinating, but let's bring it back to the impact. What does all this mean for, you know, regular organizations, maybe even individuals who rely on containers? An exposed Docker API, it sounds like it's not just a security hole. It's like you're unknowingly letting someone turn your infrastructure into a weapon. What are the real dangers here, short-term and long-term?
For businesses, the immediate risks are pretty clear and damaging. Things like having your computing resources stolen for mining, sensitive data being siphoned off, or just major disruptions to your services. But the long-term risks, arguably, are even more serious. Maintaining that persistent backdoor means they can move laterally, deeper into your network over time. And then there's the risk of your systems becoming part of a larger botnet used in attacks against others.
Right, that botnet part sounds like a huge liability issue.
It really is. Suddenly you're dealing with reputational damage, potential legal trouble, regulatory fines. If your systems are caught attacking someone else, even without your knowledge, it goes way beyond just fixing the initial breach.
That's a chilling thought. But why do our standard security tools seem to struggle so much with this specific threat? We have firewalls, antivirus, intrusion detection.
Well, containers are tricky by nature. They're designed to be temporary, ephemeral. They spin up, do a job, disappear. Traditional security that focuses on the host machine often struggles to monitor what's happening inside these short-lived containers effectively. It's like trying to guard ghosts.
And the isolation helps the attackers too.
Exactly. That isolation limits what host-based tools can see. Network monitoring also has a tough time, especially when the attackers use Tor to encrypt and anonymize their traffic. It just looks like, well, encrypted noise. Plus, using legitimate Alpine Linux images means they often slip past signature-based detection. The tools don't see a known bad file.
So the bottom line is traditional defenses aren't really built for this.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Your standard antivirus isn't going to cut it here. You really need security solutions designed specifically for containers. Tools that can actually look inside the containers, monitor their behavior, spot anomalies.
Okay, this has been quite the look into the dark side of Docker, but knowledge is only useful if we act on it. Let's pivot to defense. What are the most important practical steps? What can organizations or anyone running Docker actually do right now to protect themselves?
The absolute number one thing, the most critical defense, is hardening that Docker API itself. And this really can't be stressed enough. Never, ever expose a Docker API directly to the internet without strong authentication and authorization controls in place. Just don't do it.
Okay, rule number one, never expose it directly without controls. That's crystal clear. What else is on that essential checklist?
Right after that, you absolutely need transport layer security, TLS. Encrypt all the communication to and from the API. That stops eavesdropping, man-in-the-middle attacks. Access control needs to be tight. Follow the principle of least privilege. Only give API access to the specific users or systems that absolutely need it, and nothing more. And finally, don't just set it and forget it. Regular access reviews, rotating credentials, that kind of basic hygiene is crucial for keeping things secure over time.
That makes sense. Basic blocking and tackling, but applied specifically to the API. What about beyond just the API itself, like network defenses?
Yeah, you need layers. Network segmentation is huge. Keep your container networks separate from your main critical production systems. Don't let them talk unless they absolutely have to. Control internet access strictly. Use firewall rules, access control lists, to limit what containers can reach externally and what can reach them. And as we touched on, you need monitoring tools that understand containers and Docker.
What should those tools look for?
Things like API call logging, who's asking the Docker daemon to do what? Monitoring container creation, are unexpected images being deployed? Analyzing network traffic from containers, are they talking to weird places like Tor nodes? You need detection rules specifically tuned for suspicious container activity. Unusual images popping up, containers suddenly eating tons of CPU, making unauthorized network connections.
And if the worst happens, if you suspect a breach, incident response must be different in this container world too, right? It seems so fast-moving.
It absolutely is. Your IR plan needs to account for that. Teams have to be ready to isolate suspect containers really quickly, but also preserve the evidence for forensics, which can be tricky with containers managing. And crucially, recovery isn't just about deleting the bad container. Given how this malware spreads, you need a full infrastructure review. Find all the compromised spots. Make sure you eradicate it completely. You can't just patch one hole. Tying it all together, it's not just about fixing one vulnerability. It's about building this holistic adaptive security posture, one that expects threats to evolve and is ready to respond.
Wow. Okay, what a deep dive that was. We've really seen how something that started fairly simply, like crypto mining, has morphed into these incredibly sophisticated botnet operations. We're using anonymity, they're using self-replication, all exploiting these exposed Docker APIs. It's a really stark reminder of just how fast and how cleverly cyber threats evolve.
It really hammers home how vital it is to understand and secure these fundamental bits of our infrastructure, like Docker APIs, especially given they offer that immediate admin access, that potential for widespread compromise. It's a critical control point.
So as you're thinking about all this, maybe consider this question. In a world where pretty much any part of our infrastructure could potentially be turned into a weapon, how watchful are we really being? about those digital doorways we leave open, not just protecting our own systems, but considering the impact on the whole interconnected network.
Yeah, that vigilance today, your vigilance, really does shape the security landscape for everyone tomorrow. It's something to really take away and think about applying in your own context.